الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والتين والزيتون وطور سينين وهذا البلد الأمين لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم ثم رددناه أسفل سافلين إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فلهم أجر غير ممنون فما يكذبك بعد بالدين أليس الله بأحكم الحاكمين صدق الله العظيم.
We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salutations upon the greatest of all creation, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once again, reminding ourselves that it's through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the favor of our beloved Aqa alayhi salatu wassalam, that today we have the opportunity to benefit from the teachings of the Holy Quran while sitting in the sanctity and the safety of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One simply does not come to the masjid. One simply does not come to somebody's house. One is invited to somebody's house. So those who have been given the privilege of attending any of the jama'at salat with congregational prayer, it is through the invitation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for this, we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every single day. For when we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah increases those blessings which we have been thankful for. لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Moving on, insha'Allah ta'ala, in the previous lecture, we had begun the exegesis and the tafsir of Surah At-Teen. And the last thing we had mentioned is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains in the Holy Quran that He has made mankind in the best of composition. And we explained how the creation of mankind from a physical, anatomical perspective and also slightly from a spiritual perspective as well. Moving on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. So we said, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمِ ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. And then we returned them to the lowest of the low. So in the first verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, that verily we created mankind in the best of forms, and then we return them to the lowest of the low. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, except for those who bought iman, وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, and did good, practice good deeds. فَلَهُمْ أَجْرٌ غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ, for them is a reward that is endless, that is without ending, that is a limitless reward. So from here, generally we have two tafsirs, two explanations that we can find. One is the more famous and widely accepted tafsir, and that is that here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking simply from a physical perspective, that there was a time, and we explained how the human body is and how amazing the human body is. So that when a person is in his youth, he is blessed with beautiful, smooth skin and copious amounts of strength stored in abundance of muscle plastered across a person's bones, and define the youthful mind blessed with a cornucopia of ideas, of desires, of plans. And then what happens? Time and age. And as time and age descend upon the human body, suddenly that smooth, beautiful skin, the youthful looks, they start to dwindle and they start to fade away. The strength that a person used to pride themselves on, today we live in a world of fitness, of sports, athletics. Who can run the fastest? Who can demonstrate their strength? Who is the strongest? We have boxing and wrestling, which are fundamentally based on a person's strength and skill and speed. All of these things are tied down with youth. So suddenly, a person is not so strong anymore. A person is not so fast anymore. A person starts to feel the weight of age coming onto him. And that youthful mind, with so many bright ideas and plans, you know, as age comes, as the time, the stress of time starts to take its toll on the human body and the human mind, a person starts to, the ideas start to fade, and they become inclined towards lethargy and laziness and tiredness. And a person does not want to travel anymore. When a person's young, he wants to travel all over the world. He wants to have these new ideas. Oh, I want to start a new business and I want to change the world. I want to change the world. I want to do this and I want to do that. And I want to become the next, you know, billionaire. And I want to be a person of history. And then suddenly, as time goes on, you know, feel tired now. I feel tired. That energy is no longer there anymore. And as this continues, a person increasingly finds himself dependent on other people. And it comes to a point where a person cannot do anything anymore. And this can happen. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses people with strength and independence in their old age as well. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this blessing. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. And so this is, according to some mufassirin, according to a majority of mufassirin, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to here. And as a person becomes weaker and weaker, he starts to feel use more, the amount that he can benefit others starts to decrease as well, to a point where, you know, he can no longer benefit other people. And instead other people are having to, you know, serve him. And then finally this goes on and on until death comes. And the inevitable death removes the soul from the body. And this body that a person prided themselves on so much, and this body who a person used to show off to the world, especially, and I try to avoid discrimination, but we have to face the facts of the world around us, especially in this modern age. The modern society demands that women show off their bodies, because we live in an increasingly, like it or not, we live, this is the truth, we live in an increasingly sexualized society where everything for the sake of worldly gain is based upon the sexual attraction of women. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from the fitna. You know, there will be an advertisement for a boiler. There will be an advertisement for transferring money across the world. But none of these advertisements, it has absolutely zero relevance to women. What specifically to women? These are services that are generic for men and women. Everybody finds the need to have a boiler in the house. Everybody finds the need to transfer money to other people. So what I'm saying is that in services that are irrelevant to specifically women, what will happen is they'll have a woman there, sometimes barely clothed and speaking in certain manners to try to attract the attention of men. And sometimes in this world, in this society we live in, even women as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. So that body that we used to flaunt and show to the world, today that body no longer looks the same anymore. And today that body has succumbed to death. And today we find that where is that body? It's in an isolated hole, 6 feet deep under the ground, lifeless, alone, and with nothing to say for itself. So many of the Mufassireen, rahimahumullah, have explained that this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to. ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, except for those who bring iman and do good deeds. So for them is a limitless reward. Now we move on to the second portion of the verse. Also, one other point. In the previous verse, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ, there was a comparison between mankind and animals. That in comparison to animals, humans have been given the better physique and the better body and the better attributes. They have been given many attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. As opposed to ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ, we find in animals that the way age has its physical effect, and it affects us to a very high degree in terms of how we look. This actually does not happen so much to animals. Often, animals, it's very difficult for the layman to differentiate between an old animal and a young animal. So often, it takes an expert to determine the age of an animal. It takes an expert to say that this animal is very old, this animal is very young. So in terms of their physical features, they don't change too much. The same way, you know, the way humans, their physical features, it's very easy to point out and differentiate between a young person and an old person. But with animals, it's not so easy and it's more difficult. So they don't have the physical effects of age such like we do. Also, in terms of their benefit, in terms of their amal and what they do, they continue. For example, horses, they will continue, allowing their owner to ride upon them. Cows and goats, they will continue producing milk. They will continue all the way till they die. So they continue to benefit mankind, whereas humans don't benefit. It comes to a point, as we've just mentioned, that they don't benefit people anymore. Also, after death, we mentioned that humans' bodies, they are buried under the ground, lifeless, useless, they are no use to anybody. But many animals, after they die, after they are slaughtered, their meat is used for sustenance of mankind and other animals. Often their skin is also used. Their bones are also used. So even after death, animals are of benefit, whereas after death, we are not of benefit. So there's a comparison here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making us aware of. Moving on to the next verse, except for those who bring iman and do good, for them is a limitless reward. Now this, here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made an exemption. An exception, and He has exempted from them people of iman, the mu'mineen, the muslimin. Now this exemption can be of two types. Obviously, it doesn't mean that the Muslims, they don't experience old age. Of course, we all experience old age, and that time will come upon all of us, that we are not young anymore, we are not youthful anymore. So what does this mean? So there are two possible ways. One is from a spiritual perspective, that dekho, famous Urdu Shair says, the famous Urdu poem says, Larakpan khel ke khoya, jawani neend bar soya, burhape dekh ke roya, mot kar gaya tera bilkul safaya. That a person, he spent his entire childhood, he wasted his childhood away in play. And his youth, jawani neend bar soya, he spent his entire youth sleeping. Bas, sleeping all the time. And then what happened was, he saw his old age coming. Burhape dekh ke roya. He reached his old age and he looked at his life and he cried. And then death came and completely cleaned you out. So, from a spiritual perspective, when the disbelievers, they reach their old age, the disbelievers who have spent their entire life, their entire youth, their wealth, their health, all the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have used them in investing in the world. They have used their youth and their time investing in building up their bodies, in becoming the best footballers and becoming the best boxers and becoming the best entrepreneurs. They spent all their wealth in building big, big businesses, and they spent their wealth in expanding their businesses and in the world, investing in the world, investing. And then what happened was, they reached old age. Their feet are now dangling in the grave. And one of two things happened. They look back at their life and they think that, what have I done? I have wasted my entire life. In what? For the sake of a few houses, for the sake of a few mansions, a few buildings, a few businesses, and for the sake of a big balance on my bank account. Today, my children, they are taking over my wealth. They are taking over my companies. They are enjoying my entire life's work. And what can I do? The other thing that happens is, they spend their whole life trying their hardest to make it in the world. They made it finally. But guess what? They were too old. They were too old to now enjoy their wealth. We find people spend their youth, they spend their middle age, you know, working, 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 investing, working all day. You know, we hear about these billionaires, about Jeff Bezos and potentially Elon Musk and these kind of individuals. It's said about them that they work 18-hour days, 19-hour days, they sleep in the office. And today they're billionaires, but what happens is that it's too late. They cannot enjoy their life anymore because of the factors that we mentioned before, that their ideas and their desires and their needs, they dwindle. You know, we feel like if I become a billionaire, I'll do this and I'll do this and I'll do, but then old age comes and you can't do anything anymore. We don't have the strength, we don't have the energy. So what happens is the regret. The regret, and so this regret is a direct consequence of old age. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to this explanation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that from this perspective, from a spiritual perspective, the disbelievers, they will feel the harm and the pain and the burden of old age. As for the believers, the pious people, they spend their entire life investing their wealth, investing their health, investing their youth, investing their time for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They spent their youth acquiring knowledge. They spent their time in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doing the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted him to do. He spent his time worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He spent his youth worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He spent his wealth spending on the poor, investing in his akhirah. So when his old age, he comes, he reaches his old age, not only is he happy with the way he has spent his life, but he is also looking forward to death. He is also looking forward to meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith, "Man ahabba liqa Allah, ahabba Allahu liqa'ahu." That the person who loves and he longs the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also loves to and longs for that meeting. So the time comes with the pious people, they are looking forward to death, they just cannot wait to see the beautiful face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They cannot wait, they're sick and tired of this world. They just want to go. You know, like it says about Imam Bukhari rahimahullah, in his final moments, he made dua to Allah, "Ya Allah, the world has become tight upon me." Yeah, the world has become tight upon me. He no longer wanted to live in this world. He had been banished from Bukhara and Samarkand and he was staying on the outskirts. And he made dua to Allah, "Ya Allah, just take me now." And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with death. And, you know, death is a gift for the believer. Because it's the end of all the tests. It means that the believer, your test is over now. You have passed your test. Now it's time for your reward. Now it's time for you to enjoy yourself. Now it's time for you to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now it's time for you to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now it's time for you to spend eternity in the companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with these blessings. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. So from a spiritual perspective, the pious people, they don't feel the pain, they don't feel the loss. They feel okay. They don't. Also, in addition to this, the way other people become useless, what happens? The pious people, because of their spiritual strength and their spiritual prowess, they still not only benefit a few people, but they can benefit nations. We find that our scholars and our pious people in the old age, the older they get, the higher they become in terms of their spiritual status. It says that the pious people of the past, their final years were much stronger, and people who were blessed with their companionship in their final years, they took so much more blessing than those who had time with them in their youth. Because as time goes on, they become higher and higher in the spiritual status. So they, not only where other people become useless in their old age, the pious people, they don't become useless. They become very useful and they benefit not only individuals but nations upon nations with their spiritual strength. And we also know that because of the pious people and the du'as and the mercy and the blessings that descend upon them, the whole world, you know, many difficulties and trials and tribulations are, moved away from the dunya and the people are protected, we are protected due to the pious people amongst us. Example, Allahu A'lam, you know, I always think of this, that our beloved Ustad, the Shaykh Manisul Mutala Rahimullah, passed away in September 2019, and just a few months later, COVID happened, all the masjid in the world closed down. And this is one, Wallahu A'lam, Allah knows best, but it's an example that people like Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, who used to spend his nights crying for the sake of the Ummah, they became a shield for us. And when they pass away, this shield is taken away. So difficulties come and trials and tribulations come upon the Ummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with people who can cry throughout the night for the sake of the Ummah and be a means of protection for the Ummah worldwide. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Also, people, the pious people, when they become old, they do not lose out on the rewards that they used to gain when they were young. They don't have this afsos. The reason, you know, sometimes you have this, when I was healthy, when I was young, I was able to do this, I was able to do that. You know, the disbelievers, they have this feeling that when I was young, I used to be able to travel the world, I used to be able to run so fast, I used to be able to do so many things, now I can't do anything. The pious people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He blesses them with the reward of the actions that they used to do in their youth, that because of old age, they're not able to do anymore. And as evidence, there's a hadith that Imam Bukhari rahimahullah narrates on the authority of Abu Musa radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, says, قال Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا مَرِضَ الْعَبْدُ أَوْ سَافَرَ كُتِبَ لَهُ مِثْلُ مَا كَانَ يَعْمَلُ مُقِيمًا صَحِيحًا رَوَاهُ الْبُخَارِي. Hadith number 2834. My Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that when a person becomes ill or he travels, the reward of the actions that he used to do when he was healthy and when he was not a traveler, when he was a resident, is written down for him. So they do not lose and out in terms of spirituality, in terms of reward, they do not lose out as well. This is all also detailed in لَهُمْ أَجْرٌ غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ, an endless reward, and a never-ending reward, a limitless reward. Moving on, the second way that the mu'mineen may not feel the brunt of old age is from a physical perspective. And it's very simple. Disbelievers, we find that as soon as they reach old age, what happens? The people, the children, put them into old people's home. We're too busy chasing after the world. We don't have time for these people. I don't care. I'll visit my dad on Father's Day. I'll visit my mother on Mother's Day and certain celebrations, and once a year, twice a year. And as time goes on, even that once a year, twice a year, it fails to materialize. And they are abandoned in old people's home. Often they are abused, they're not taken care of properly. And so the disbelievers, they feel the brunt of old age. Whereas with Muslims, alhamdulillah, because of the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to taking care of our parents, today, alhamdulillah, we still have this culture that we take care of our parents to the point that when they are passing away, there's people all around them. Often they pass away in their homes. Even if it's in the hospital, their family is around them. They do not pass away alone. The children find it an honor that I'll take care of my parents. If their parents experience old age, it's an honor that I will push my father, my grandfather on a wheelchair. It's an honor for me to bath my old age father if he cannot bath himself anymore. It's an honor for the daughter to help her mother go to the toilet if she cannot do so anymore. It's an honor and it's a means of reward. And because of these things, the Muslim, the mu'mineen, the old people, they do not feel the brunt of youth as much because they have their beloved people taking care of them. Also, if a person does not have children, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He sends people to them who accompany them and who help them and take care of them. And in exchange, they are able to benefit from the old person's du'as and also spiritual strength. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to give us tawfiq and let this culture and tradition never ever cease to exist. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. The second explanation to this verse, I mentioned before that the first one that we've just mentioned is widely accepted. The second one, some scholars have said that these verses, ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ السَّافِلِينَ, then we return him to the lowest of the low, except for those who bring iman and do good, for them is a limitless reward. This is talking about, some scholars have said that this is talking about the akhirah only. This is only talking about the akhirah. And asfala safineen refers to jahannam. And so in that sense, it will illa alladhina amanu, except for those who bring iman and do good. This verse will be meant literally that every single mu'min, they will not be returned. They are exempted from being in jahannam, and they will, because of their iman and their a'mal salihah and their good deeds, they will have a limitless reward and they will be entered into Jannah. May Allah, Allahumma ja'alna minhum. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Lastly, we find that فَمَا يُكَذِّبُكَ بَعْدُ بِالدِّينِ, and so what can make you, after all this, deny the day of requital? أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِأَحْكَمِ الْحَاكِمِينَ, isn't Allah the ruler of all rulers? So here, very quickly, the first verse, فَمَا يُكَذِّبُكَ بَعْدُ بِالدِّينِ, has three possible tafsirs. The first tafsir is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is directly challenging the disbelievers. That after all of this, I have given you a sign here. In terms of your youth, in terms of your life. You know, in the Quran, Allah says, Allahu alladhi khalaqakum min dha'afin, thumma ja'ala min ba'di dha'afin quwwa, thumma ja'ala min ba'di quwwatin dha'fa wa shayba. That Allah says, and this verse, it sort of summarizes what Allah's message is here. And Allah says that Allah created you from weakness, meaning that when we were babies, we were weak. And after your weakness, He created strength in terms of youth and middle age. And after your strength, He created you, He made you weak again in terms of old age. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here, the wider meaning of this verse, these verses are that the way Allah made you weak and then strong and weak again, the same way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will resurrect you tomorrow and you will be questioned. So moving on, in extension to that, Allah says, presenting you with these evidences, that Allah took you through these stages of life, how can you then deny that a time will come when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to question you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to resurrect you? The second possible tafsir is, the second and third tafsir are that this verse, فَمَا يُكَذِّبُكَ بَعْدُ بِدِينِ, is directed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so, in this way, there's two tafsirs. The first tafsir is this ma over here is ma'i nahi. And what it means is that after seeing these evidences, nobody will now be able to challenge you and call you a liar. And this is directed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the second, the final tafsir is that this ma is of questioning. And he takes the meaning of man. And he says, so who now can challenge you who now can call you a liar with regard to the day of requital, the day of qiyamah, the day of judgment, the day of accounting? Finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, isn't Allah the greatest of all, the greatest ruler of all rulers? Ibn al-Hadith, narrated by Imam Abu Dawood and Imam Tirmizi rahimahumullah, on the authority of Abu Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala an, he said, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من قرأ منكم والتين والزيتون فانتهى إلى قوله تعالى أليس الله بأحكم الحاكمين. فَلْيَقُلْ بَلَى وَأَنَا عَلَى ذَٰلِكَ مِنَ الشَّاهِدِينَ. That Abu Huraira رضي الله تعالى عنه said that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said that when one of you recites وَالتِّينِ وَالزَّيْتُونِ and he comes to the ending أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِأَحْكَمِ الْحَاكِمِينَ, he should say بَلَى, most definitely, وَأَنَا عَلَى ذَٰلِكَ مِنَ الشَّاهِدِينَ, and I testify to this fact as well. So when one is not praying salah and he is reciting the Quran, it is good for this person to, for is mustahab based on this hadith, for a person to say this, wa ana ala dhalika min ash-shahidin. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability and give us the tawfiq and give us the strength to fight against the temptations of this dunya, the temptations of this world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the true understanding of the Holy Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the true love for the Holy Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the Quran a protector for us in this world from the fitan and a protection for us in the grave from the adab and the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and an intercessor on the day of Qiyamah in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the true love for our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to bring the sunnah into our lives and make our lives like that of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. سبحان الله وبحمده, سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك, نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت, نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.